Previously on 24.
Whatever you've planned next is going to fail. Just like everything else you've tried today.
Almost 40 dead in a train crash. Many more near the San Gabriel Island nuclear plant.
We managed to stop the other 103 power plants from melting down. That's what America will remember, that we stopped you.
No. This country will forever be afraid to let their leaders appear in public.
For all the hatred that you have for this country, you don't understand it very well.
Number one, the police report file has been distributed. In the next few minutes, CTU will be alerted that the military pilot and his family are missing.
What do you think we should do?
We have to make sure CTU is too busy to realize its significance.
Jack Bauer is alive and in my custody. I will return him to you unharmed in exchange for Beru's Arras.
This is Bill Buchanan from Division. He'll be overseeing the operation.
Let's talk about what happens if we don't agree to the exchange.
We don't get Jack Bauer back, for one thing.
That can't be the deciding factor here.
Well, most importantly, if we don't go through with this exchange, we may lose an opportunity to trap Marwan.
Is my mother in the van? She was working with you. Where is she?
I don't know.
I don't want to die.
Why'd you give the kid?
It's okay, he's been double tagged. We'll be tracking him.
I managed to short circuit some phone lines in the building that I was being held. If you can find two service obstructions at the same coordinates, we can get to Marwan.
We have a location where Marwan was holding Jack.
Yes.
There's a problem. Just as I was about to do a pre-flight check, they grounded the plane.
Resolve this now.
Did you make a report to the chief mechanical officer?
I'm just about to head over there right now.
Don't let me hold you up. It's just a false alarm.
All right. I'll clear it for takeoff.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Welcome, 24 fans, to episode number 16. This is Brian Spicer. I directed the episode. I'm here with
Arnold Vosloo, who plays Habib Marwan.
Welcome. We're going to talk a little bit about some behind the scenes and how we made this episode. We filmed it along with episode 15, which you probably just finished watching. We talked a little bit about. I've asked Secret Service to secure a landing site. It helps production for us to produce two episodes at a time. It becomes more efficient with locations and scheduling and actors, and we get more done.
You directed 15 as well, Brian?
Yes, 15 and 16.
15 and 16. Is that common throughout the industry, or is it just 24?
No, actually, nobody else does it except 24.
Really?
And it's really a smart way to go, especially for this show. There's a lot of continuity. Everybody's wearing the same thing, a lot of the same sets, so it's really smart and really efficient.
It's a more cost-effective way, then.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's amazing when I tell people in the features world that I've worked on this and that we shoot an episode in 8 days, you know, what is it, 40 minutes, 42 minutes of television, they're amazed. Always amazed.
Yeah, television is very fast, but we've managed to make some good TV look like little features here.
Yeah.
A really good crew. We owe a lot to our crew, the camera crew, everybody on the crew, the writers, editors.
We have what? At least two cameras always, right?
We always have two cameras rolling, sometimes more, but usually two. One's always usually long on the lens, from 150 millimeter above.
Static, right? On like a dolly or something?
It's on a dolly, not usually static, usually dolly. It's usually moving around, and it's always panning, rack focusing. And the other camera's always handheld, a little bit closer to the action, getting in there and making you feel like you're right on top of what's going on.
And there's always a lot of, there's always something in the foreground in the show, right?
Yeah, that's the fun thing about shooting this show. It's so unconventional. We're not always have to be in proper eye lines and proper over the shoulders. You know, sort of seem like you're watching what's going on from a distance, almost like it's voyeuristic.
Right.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. How's Paul doing?
They just finished operating. They said he's going to make it.
It's interesting for me to see, some of the other stuff, like the CTU stuff, because I never work there as the Marwan character. I'm always, running away or running towards something.
You're in some dark alley.
Yeah, in some dark alley somewhere. So it's like watching, a little movie, and then you go, I'm in it, It's my piece.
Yeah, it must be nice seeing it all put together and seeing how it all works, yeah. That's the most gratifying thing for myself after shooting all these little tiny pieces is sitting down and seeing them all put together and telling a whole big story.
Yeah, bits and pieces.
Jill Serenau, one of the executive producers of the show. And Tim, who produces the show, does a great job keeping it all together.
I just got off the phone with DOD. They want to know what our status is.
Jack's team has been deployed to Marwan's location. You should begin the assault any minute.
Did you get a read on how many hostiles are inside?
Based on the inference scan, we counted 8.
Did we pick up voice transmission that could indicate that one of them is Marwan?
No, but we know he was there 25 minutes ago when Jack left the building.
If the information on that hard drive is discovered by the Americans...
This was where? Was this an old plant downtown or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, an old giant warehouse downtown.
Warehouse.
I think in our schedule we were shot down there for 4 or 5 days. Between the two episodes, 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. And we were able to shoot all the action, all the when the SWAT team took over the warehouse, or is about to take over the warehouse, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting my episodes mixed up now. We shot all that first unit. No second unit was done in this episode at all.
Yeah, there was a lot of action in this one.
Yeah, a lot of action. Normally, we would do action. We'd separate action out with the second unit because it's a little cheaper and more efficient that way, but... I think in our schedule here, we had so much dialogue to do, we had time to do some action as well, so put it all together.
There's something like that plane flying, is that stock footage that the company buys, or where do you get that?
Yeah, well, the stealth footage is hard to get permission to use, but we got permission to use some stock footage. And this is just a little cockpit that we rented and put on stage and used some lighting tricks.
Mm-hmm. Hard drive.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to find it.
Ask Aziz.
Aziz is dead.
The show's very inventive in the way it uses these boxes and telephone conversations and to keep all the different characters and storylines alive. It makes you really feel like mm-hmm. the story is happening now in real time.
I like the shot here that you did of me simply because it allows the actor to tell the story with his face, you mm-hmm. know, as opposed to a camera move or whatever, so...
Yeah. Great reactions. You really do.
Run, Marwan, run. Mm-hmm. They're on you. They're somewhere. It seems Marwan has so many guys that are just expendable, you know. It's fantastic. Just... Therefore, splatter value.
Okay, in order to flush Marwan out, I want you to lead your men down the main corridor. He'll try and escape through the left flank. That's where I'll find him.
Attack team's ready to go in on your work.
For those of you who are still looking for Bruce's rescue, it was supposed to be at the beginning of this episode. Ended up getting cut short because of length, and I think you'll find it in the outtakes, so look for that.
All teams moving on target.
When the show goes into night, I mean, how much of it is interior, which you can shoot in the day, and how much is actual night exterior out of like a 16-day shoot?
Oh, there's our big action sequences here for sure. It's tough when we get into the time of the season where a lot of it's all night work. We shoot a lot of nights. We work long, long nights into the weekends, and wherever we can, we'll shoot indoors and try to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes very hard on the crew, and but it's all worth it in the end. And then then we have half the season where we're in the daylight. That's hard, too, because it gets dark really early, and we try to shoot as much daylight as we can before it gets dark, too. So
it's the opposite. Yeah,
it's the opposite. Fighting it on both ends. But.
Yeah. This action stuff, you know, always looks effortless, but it just takes forever.
Yeah.
It just takes so much time because...
It's all choreographed.
All choreographed. You've got to tell the camera guy, you know, to come and find that gun down there or that knife or whatever. So it becomes like a dance between the performer and the camera. And
absolutely.
It just takes forever. It just takes forever.
And you're right. The dance has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, we've got to do it again.
And again.
It's all about timing.
And again.
Mm-hmm. But look at how it pays off.
Yeah, no, it works. It's great.
Really good sound effects crew working on this scene. All the gun effects and ricochets and all that. Music's great. Building the tension. Editors did a great job cutting this sequence together. This is actually a longer sequence when we shot it. It was just a little bit longer. Had some more beats in it. But for time, once again, we trim it down.
It's great that they cut back to CT, that they sort of experience everything.
Yeah, once again, it keeps everybody alive, doesn't it? It makes it feel like it's happening live.
Everybody has a vested interest, yeah. It's very, very interesting. What has this show won Emmys for? Has it been for editing, or what has it been for? The awards that they've won, does anybody know?
I'm not sure. I know it's won quite a few Emmys in the earlier seasons, and it's been up for Emmys almost every year.
I can't stop this thing from deleting.
No Keeper's been up for an Emmy. It's Marwan's Escape. Remember the night we shot this?
Yeah.
In about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we shot this in literally five minutes.
Right behind our sound stages.
Just off a little alley. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. A few lights.
This room's hot. Get your men out of here. Get your men!
Nice.
Yeah, we did this whole thing in one take with the real actors, Kiefer and... our other SWAT team members were the actual actors in that explosion. No stunt people used at all. He's trying to cover his tracks. Kiefer was proud of it, too. He jumped through the air, and I think a little bit of flame caught on his back, and he was really excited about it.
Yeah, it wakes you up. It's good.
He wanted to do it. He's into doing a lot of stuff.
It's always better if you can.
Yeah.
Forces you guys not to have to cut away or whatever.
Yeah, we made it all safe for him, too.
Stop what?
Within the hour.
What's gonna happen within the hour? What's gonna happen within the hour?
And this actor's name's Anthony Azizi. He was in a series called Threat Matrix not too long ago, and I put him on a couple of features. He's actually a really, really good actor, really good guy.
Is this device of using the boxes, it's sort of such a, it's like a 60s sort of TV thing, isn't it, that they brought back kind of thing, isn't it?
I guess. I remember when I was a kid watching a series called Wild Wild West that had it in the commercials. They would freeze frame the last frame, and it was kind of cool. And yeah. this is a different concept, of course, but I think it's, again, it helps show you what everybody's doing, what all the different storylines are doing at the same time.
Right. It works very well.
But I'm not sure where it actually came from.
But not likely.
Again, it's too early to tell. We could go over the details later, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I was optimistic. A lot depends on his attitude, his support system, emotional, as well as medical.
Kim Raver is such a great addition to the show. Nice actress. Did a long time on Third Watch.
Does he know?
Yes, I just told him. I'm sure he'd like to see you.
Thank you.
And Arno, how'd you get involved in the show? How did they approach you?
I was in Germany working on a feature, and I was offered, I think, four episodes. They weren't sure what they were going to do with a Marwan character, so they called and was offered it to me and said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So came out and did it, and four became five and became six, and six became 17. Ended up doing the whole thing, so...
How many episodes did you do?
17 total.
17 episodes,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so, yeah, somewhere there.
From four to 17.
Somewhere in there, yeah. And
nice side job?
Yeah, it's been sort of a nice... second job, third job, whatever. And it's been great to work in L.A. because I never, ever shoot here.
Right.
When I work, I always get hired here in Los Angeles and
go away,
Canada, Mexico, Europe, or whatever. So it's been great. It's been like a proper day job, or night job, for that matter. And it's been fun because the Marwan character doesn't work every day, so I only work 2 days a week, maybe 3 days a week, so...
I hate you.
That was wonderful. I'm not like you when you're there 14 hours or 16 hours or whatever,
day,
you know.
Every day.
2 weeks, you're in there.
Yes, the crew slaves over the show.
Yeah, they really work. They really, really work. Couldn't make this show without the crew. And one of the things I noticed when I started working on this is how they're just like such a well-oiled machine, you know. They've been doing this their fourth year now, and they really know what to do.
Very well organized, yeah.
I mean, you have to be to shoot this kind of quality in this amount of time. You have to be.
No, he must have slipped through the perimeter.
How the hell could you let that happen?
Rodney Charter's a great DP. He's really, especially when in the CTU set, this set here, it's all pretty laid out lighting-wise, so you can go in there really quickly and get a lot of page count done. Sometimes you have to shoot anywhere from, I guess 5 or 6 pages would be a low page count for one day, but mostly 9 or 10 pages.
In CTU, hey?
Yeah.
Because of the lighting, just saves so much time?
Yeah, we can get 9 or 10 pages done really quick. And I'll even take a 6-page scene and block it all out as one big long scene like a play and just shoot the whole thing all at one time.
Rather than
break it. Most shows you'll break it in little pieces, and the show it's much more fun to like just lay it all out and go.
That's pretty cool. That would be fun to.
It's fun. It's hard on the actors because there's a lot of lines and a lot of cues to pick up and keep going and movement, but when it works, it works. And you can really see it on the screen.
You holding up?
I'm fine.
I think Tony just got a little taste of what his ex-wife's been up to there.
Mm-hmm. Saying, I was just thinking it's a nice mix of sex and terrorism.
Yes. And jealousy.
And jealousy.
Jealousy.
Work it all in there.
Yeah. Sex in the workplace.
That was posted while you were in jail, right?
Yeah. Thanks. Got a match.
And Arnold, did you work on all the episodes up till the end? Did you work on
the final
episode?
Till the final episode, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Downtown LA.
Did you survive?
Finished it in grand style.
Are you going to come back?
5 a.m. in the morning when the sun came up.
Will Marwan will be back?
No, Marwan...
will not be back.
Marwan takes leave of Jack in a spectacular way.
All right. Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm very happy with the way that's turned out.
Okay, I want you to get me an address on Anderson.
The way they part is pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, very nice.
I haven't seen it yet. John Cassar shot that episode?
Yes, yeah. He shot that episode, yeah.
I was away doing an episode of House. I don't even know what happens at the very end. It's a big secret.
This is FBI Agent Drake. Please open the door.
This location, I think, was like used like John Cassar told me 5 or 6 times.
Don't tell the audience that. I think people started noticing that too. But no, this set was rebuilt, redone, and if you notice from this look, after this it changed into the presidential bunker underneath the White House.
Oh, is that what
it becomes? If you look at some of the structure design, our great production designer Joseph Hodges has done just amazing work transforming and saving money from one set to the next. I think it was something else before this set, too. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, there was another
apartment.
Yeah. It was used literally 5 or 6 times.
Yes.
You investigating him?
I just got to his apartment a few minutes ago.
What do you mean, he's not there?
No. Why is CTU involved? Is there
I like this whole thing where the girl takes out the other girl and assumes the identity.
This is where I love the boxes. You can really do some nice, pretty composition shots, head to toe.
I'll advise you when I get there.
How far away are you?
I'm about 10 minutes out.
I'll be here.
Thank you.
And change the shape in television, you know? You only get the square box. But you can change the shape to different sizes. It's really nice.
Yeah, make the eye look somewhere else. And this was also near the stage, wasn't it, Brian?
I think so. This is actually a scene I think you guys picked up.
Oh, that's right.
After the fact, I think you needed another little beat of you.
That's right. We needed
that. Wasn't written originally.
Yeah.
And, I think I was gone doing another show, and John Cassar. I think John Cassar shot.
Yes, exactly.
Just picked it up one night out and back.
Yeah, one night and back, and they wrapped the other stuff. We just ran into an alley, and
it happens a lot on this show where we add some scenes after we finish a show because we'll need to to you know, add some more information here or there, and we'll just pick little pieces up here and there and add them back in.
I love this poor man process. To me, it was the most fantastic thing because it had such a not on screen, but when you're in the building and, you know, looking at them setting it all up, it's such a sort of artificial thing. But I love this. I love the artificialness about it.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. What he's talking about is we put a vehicle on stage and we do rear screen projection, where we have projectors that play the background of the city street going by, where the actor can actually see it and the camera can photograph it live. And it looks pretty real when you film it with our lenses and the movement and all that and the lighting effects that Rodney does. It looks really real. But it saves us a lot of time not having to actually go out and drive around on the actual city streets.
Oh, it takes forever to do that stuff if you had to do it for real.
And I think it's just become a look and a style for this show, too. Mm. You know, I'm not sure if you could get away with this on any show, but for this show, it really
works.
It really, really works, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't do it a lot. Not many shows do that. Something that used to be done a lot in the old days, but not so much anymore.
Why? Just because it looks a certain way?
Yeah, it's hard to make. It's really, really difficult to make it look absolutely perfectly real.
Mm.
Nighttime, you have a little more leeway, but when you're doing daytime stuff, it really stands out as looking a little fake. But our process that we've done has managed to make it look pretty good, and it just fits with the look of the show.
Now, do they take license with, like, this location where it's inside Air Force One? Do they just build something out of imagination, or was it a sort of direct replica?
This is a... we actually went to the Air Force One set that's used on West Wing, which is out here in L.A. on the soundstage, and it's a replica of it, pretty much. And we used that on one day, and we've also built a section. This section is actually built on our stage to replicate it. Just a small section.
The truth.
We've been attacked by terrorists. Americans are dead. The man responsible is still at large, and we are by no means certain that we can catch him before he strikes again. What happened earlier may be nothing compared to what happens next. That's the truth, Kevin.
How many scenes did you get to work with Kiefer? Is it, again, you were the bad guy, and he was always after you, so you didn't get many chances to actually see each other.
No, I think we encountered each other maybe a total of 3-4 times.
How was that?
Including the end. It was good. It was very good, yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, it's obviously his fourth year, and he really understands the genre, and he was a great help to me. Because it's tough when you come in as a sort of a new guy, not knowing the show, not having seen it. So it helped.
Yeah, he's got good instincts with this type of show.
Mm-hmm. He has that same location.
Agent Drake? Agent Drake? Drop the weapon now!
Are you Agent Bauer?
Yes, now holster your weapon!
I need to see your ID.
I don't have identification. I'm working with CTU on a provisional basis. I talked to you 10 minutes ago.
Another thing you can get away with on this show is you can put the cameras anywhere you want. And what I mean by that is you can cross the line in the show. A lot of standard shows, the camera needs to be on a certain side so people are look like they're looking at each other, right to left, left to right, that kind of stuff. On this show, we often put the camera on the wrong side of the line just to disorient the audience a little bit, and the geography usually sells where everything is. Just adds to the look of the show.
But that's not the norm, right?
It's not the norm at all.
Have computer files that could tell us Marwan's next target.
What's the source of the intercepted call?
It's actually a little liberating to be able to do that, because you can find a lot of great shots in different areas that you normally wouldn't be able to use.
Right.
No, my ASAC thinks that Anderson may have hidden a backup copy of the files here. I was trying to find it.
Right now, Anderson's our only lead.
Our director of photography really is good.
And the operators, the focus pullers. There's an example of the rear screen projection out the window there.
Where are you?
I'm almost in position.
What's the problem?
Is my cover in place?
Yeah, I love that I could just, as soon as you say cut, I just slide that door open of that van and step out and walk over to
craft service
and have a cookie. That's great. Okay. It's fantastic. And you go, all right, let's do another take. And you just step back and the car's allegedly driving again. I love that.
And then we just take the van or whatever vehicle we have it on wheel dollies. You just spin it around with three guys and keep shooting. You keep the projection where it is. Don't move the projection, just move the car.
I understand.
This episode was very controversial, I remember, when it came out. It got all sorts of press because...
of what's coming up.
Yeah, of what's coming up. Yeah. I mean, people felt that, you know, we might have taken it too far or whatever their feelings were on the subject.
I felt a little bit like that when I first read the script. I felt like I had to figure out how to actually make... well, the original script was we were actually going to shoot it down. So I had to figure out how we were going to... actually, not shoot it down. We were going to crash our stealth into it.
That was the original plan. So that's right. Yeah.
And I wasn't quite figured out how to do it, so I actually sat down and figured out how to do it, and wasn't really crazy about it. But then the network decided to change that and make it more of a missile rather than a kamikaze, which I think was smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
I think the way we executed it was much better. You know, we could have shown it and done more shots and done some visual effects. But I think just by when you see it, you just mostly hear it. You don't see what's going on. You hear it and you play it on all the reactions of people's faces and how they're feeling and reacting at that moment.
Right, which is almost stronger.
Yeah, you know, more of an impact.
More of an impact.
Absolutely.
LAPD's locked down the area where Merwan was last seen. I need you to review the search grid.
It's such a... you know, as actors, you're always reluctant to go to the director and say, you know, why don't you just stay on my face, you know, for this reaction, because it seems like such a vanity kind of actor thing to ask the director. But sometimes it's the best thing, you know, just to...
it's none of your business.
To let the reaction play on somebody's face as opposed to show the explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're working with Seattle and Homeland Security restructuring, right?
Yeah.
We were still married then.
Legally, yes.
What is the ratio, Brian, in your experience from features to television? If you say sometimes 6, sometimes 10 pages a day, features is what, maybe 2?
Yeah, features 2-3 pages a day, depending on what your scenes are.
Right.
You take much more time.
Much more ponderous, the whole.
Yeah. Everything's got to be, it's much bigger screen, so everything's got to be much more perfect, mm-hmm. exact. Not that it's not in television, but we just don't have time. We just go quick.
Still amazing that we get this quality in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Are most shows 8 days or not?
Most shows, yeah. Most regular TV shows are 8 days to complete. Sometimes there'll be a little pickup or some inserts, maybe a little second unit here and there. But
mm-hmm.
And most features can be anywhere from 80 days to 120 days for movies like The Mummies.
Yeah. Months.
Months and months and months.
You know Row Major isn't compatible with our software. It'll bring all our processors to a crawl.
I know, it was a mistake. I thought it was going to Division.
We'll fix it.
Chloe, that was my mistake. Why'd you cover for me?
You're welcome.
You'd have had your job back if you wouldn't let me handle the disc.
I thought you had a lot on your mind.
A question I get a lot from fans is, you know, is there a real CTU?
Is there a real one in L.A.?
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
Unbeknownst to us.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, I hope there is. I hope they're on the job somewhere.
Yeah, that would be a good time for it.
Yeah. How many countries does this play in, Brian? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've had quite a few, though. That's a good question.
And some of them, obviously, ADR, and like in Germany, I'm sure it's all in German.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you know, when we, I think back around Christmas time, when the phone number slipped out on one of our set phones, everybody knows about that out there, and started getting phone calls on our prop phone from all over the world, actually, from fans that had seen it on TV. We realized,
that's so cool. That's great.
And it actually turned into something really cool. It wasn't planned. It wasn't a publicity stunt. It was just kind of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it became like the biggest publicity we've had. And we've talked to, and I picked up the phone a bunch of times on the set and talked to people all over the world that watch the show.
Yeah.
What was amazing, too, is they were actually seeing the show before they actually got the show in the country. So somewhere, someplace, somebody's downloading it on the Internet, and people are getting to see it, and which is good. I guess there's a big following, so people want to see it.
Yeah.
It's good for us.
The other thing I love about the show is that there's such a, for want of another word, there's such a passionate use of the technology, you know, whether it's cell phones or satellites or all the technology, just the sort of wireless technology that gets used, is sort of used in a passionate way, you know. It's always an urgent sense of urgency with all the use of the technology. So it makes you feel good as a viewer because you kind of feel like it works, you know, your tax dollars.
Yeah.
Half the stuff, of course, doesn't exist, but...
Well, a lot of the technology that we use in the show, actually, we use. Like, all the telephone conversations,
right.
We actually... We're talking to somebody on the other phone.
Right, you do too. Yeah,
in CTU, all those desk phone works and all the photo phone works.
Yeah.
All the computer graphics are all there for everybody to see. Try to keep it real.
Yeah. Couldn't have done this show 15 years ago. Just in terms of the technology not existing.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Very much of its time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you go, girl. I love this piece that comes up where Jack shoots her through the wall. I love that.
Oh, that's great. You know,
yeah,
I noticed some talking over the internet after this show aired about the blood, and I'll explain what happened in a second.
God, I can't remember blood.
Yeah, well, when he shoots her through the wall, in the trailer from a previous week's episode, they showed her slide down the wall, and there was blood behind her when she slid down the wall.
Ah.
Because they used a piece of film that wasn't actually used in the show. I'll tell you in a second what happened here.
Like a different take kind of thing.
Well, the sequence, we recut the sequence a little bit differently than we shot it. And
here
right here,
go.
She
bam,
gets
bam,
shot.
Bam.
And then here, she slides down and you'd see blood on the wall in the trailer.
Right.
Now they cut out of it because what happened is we shot in out of order like we normally do. And this particular shot right here, you don't see any blood on the wall.
Right, right, right.
So we kind of screwed ourselves a little bit by shooting out of order. And I remember correctly, I wanted to shoot in order, but I didn't have time to go back and forth with the blood. Mm-hmm, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, it would take too long.
Yeah, so.
But it's, you know, it works. I mean.
Yeah. And we could have gone one way or the other. You either didn't show the shot of him coming down the stairs and leave the blood or just take the blood out, so. That's the explanation behind the blood.
Dr. Stiles.
Edgar, it's Jack. Where's Chloe?
She's busy doing a systems update.
Okay, I need you to tell Michelle and Tony that the FBI agent that I met at Anderson's apartment was an imposter working for Marwan. I killed her, but not before she took out my backup. CTU needs to send out a team, lock down the apartment, and initiate an investigation.
You want to tell him yourself?
No, you can tell him in a second. Right now, I need you to help me pull some data off a hard drive. The directory's locked. Hold on one second. I'm going to put you on speakerphone. I'm set. Go ahead.
Can you get into the
this
room?
Is where Kiefer amazes me. We can remember so much dialogue and talk so fast.
Yeah.
And not blow it.
And not blow it, I know. And it's a lot of technical jargon as well.
Yeah. Listen, coming up here, he just goes and goes.
It's very difficult as an actor to do this phone acting because, you know, the best case scenario is when you react, you know, as an actor to something. And in these scenarios, you really drive it. You just have to pretend you're on the phone or you are on the phone with, you know, somebody, another actor or props guy or whoever, reading your lines, and you really just have to force yourself to drive the scene. He's a master at that.
Yeah.
Jack, did it work?
Yeah, I'm in. I need to speak to Michelle and Tony now.
Hold on, I'll get him.
Jack's on the line.
Jack, what is it?
I pulled some data off a hard drive that we found hidden in Anderson's apartment. On it is a flight simulator and full schematics to an F-117A stealth fighter.
Anderson's an experienced pilot.
I know. I also think he's posing as military.
It's also amazing on the show that you don't get away with any other show or use of zoom lenses. All the little zooms that we do, mm-hmm. accent what's going on.
Yeah.
There aren't any other shows that really do that and get away with it because it, you know, for a time there, it was just kind of a little cheesy and didn't quite work with, you know, good television. But now it sure works at gangbusters.
Yeah.
Central Air Command reports that an F-117A stealth fighter took off on a scheduled mission about 40 minutes ago. Now, the pilot did not call in on schedule. That was about 6 minutes ago. All attempts to contact that pilot have failed. Okay, that's it. We have to assume...
It must be fun for you as a director to go from something like this in terms of the choices of camera and lens and whatever, and then go do something like House.
Mm-hmm.
It is a completely different show.
Most shows are, yeah, very... complete different styles. You sort of adapt to what their look is and kind of bring your own style to it and try to transcend the material, make it look cool, tell a good story.
Oh, my God. They're going after the president.
I'll call Air Force One.
Tony, we don't have a lot of time. I need you to get me the recall frequency for that plane's squadron.
Same with you. Must be different to change character and be something different, somebody different.
Yeah.
Each time you change character.
Yeah. This particular character has been a really fun one. It's Marwan because, you know, I didn't want to do research. I didn't want to delve too deeply into the whole terrorist thing. You know, it's just too real and kind of scary a subject. So I thought I would just play it as still and as quiet as I can and let the writing and the camera and a lot of the other stuff help, you know, sell the drama of it or the urgency or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, you know, just so happened to have worked for this. But that is, it's one of the cool things about being an actor. Going off to some other country and staying in a hotel and, you know, being this other person for 2 or 3 months without any jeopardy. You can get to be, you know, the most evil terrorist in the world and nobody's really going to shoot at you.
Well, Marwan came off, I think, really real and a worthy adversary for, you know, opponent for...
Yes,
for Jack Bauer.
For Jack Bauer. That's what you want.
That's what you want. You want somebody that is, you know, just as tough.
Right. And really, in terms of the character, it's really the sort of flip side to Jack, you know. He's, you know, he's on the other side, but he's as smart or...
He's just as smart or just one step ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Playing chess.
Yes.
Other, you know?
Chess.
You remember a chess game?
Yes, for those of you that do not know some obscure trivia, Brian and I worked together before on a show called Veritas, which I think was on 13 episodes, and then it got pulled on ABC, and we shot that in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Arnold and I worked on the pilot in Montreal.
Yeah, on the pilot in Montreal.
Arnold and I did a 2-hour pilot of Veritas. Very cool series. Arnold played a great character.
Very, very cool character. It was really fun. We'll do it again on another one, Brian.
Yes, we will, Arnold. That was great. We had a really good time.
So this is the thing you changed. Instead of having fighter jet flying into Air Force One, kamikaze style, you decided to do the shoot.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. In the original script, the reason to steal the stealth fighter was so they could sneak up behind Air Force One and all its protection and crash into it. That was the reason for the stealth. And we just got to be too much for everybody, so yeah, we changed it to the missile. The stealth fighter shoots a missile. I'm not even sure if stealth fighters actually carry missiles, in truth, but it's all top secret, so nobody knows.
Oh, really? Nobody knows?
Yeah, I think they just actually drop bombs, but creative license for television.
That's right.
If you hit your intercom button, you'll be patched through to the stealth fighter.
Copy that.
Mitch Anderson, can you hear me?
Captain Anderson, do you read me? My name is Jack Bauer. I'm a federal agent. We know who you are. We know what you're trying to do. Sir, I know you can hear me. Nothing you've done so far...
I love this whole sequence because you're not sure if he's going to talk the guy out of it, you know. At one point, he seems like he's going to abort the mission.
again, it's another great use of these boxes where you really get to see everybody's reaction. You normally don't do in phone calls. You usually hear somebody talk and you cut to the other person talking. You get to miss what
right.
every reaction to every word and every line, which is so unique and great about this series.
Why?
And that's all, once again, static in the studio, right? This little cockpit stuff.
All of this is, even the car stuff.
Even the car stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Just the way you move the lights and the camera.
Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors.
Including Air Force Silver Star. What happened to you? Explain it to me. Because what you're trying to do right now, I don't think that's who you are. I don't think that's how you want to be remembered.
If I go down...
It's amazing. There's hundreds and hundreds of little shots that go into making a whole 42-minute episode. Hundreds. 400, 500, 600 shots, something like that. Some of these shows.
Wow.
In 8 days.
24 frames a second.
Move forward.
Yes, sir, Mr. Preston.
Very good cast as well, you know, all these... Actors are very good. It's such a good ensemble cast.
Right.
Sir, I've just been notified by the FBI that they've contacted your sister, Alicia. They've advised her of what's happening. She's scared. She wants to talk to you. All you have to do, Captain Anderson, is respond to me, and I'll put her right through. Captain Anderson. Captain Anderson, Chloe, I think we've been cut off. Is there an override channel?
He's cut off all communication circuits. I don't think there's anything we can do.
Damn it!
Getting close to the end here. Aren't you going to do any more Mummy movies that come out?
Possibly, yeah. They're talking about doing another one, and I'm not sure when, but it's, you know, at some point it's going to happen. The first two were so popular, I'm sure they...
Have you done two or three?
Two. Oh, okay. Yeah, and... You know, well,
of course,
it'll be nice to do the third one and sort of do the trilogy and
get it over.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Mummy is, you know, it's like that shark in Jaws; it just never dies. You know, somebody reads from that black book of poetry and he wakes up and causes mayhem.
Yeah, it's a good series. Well, here comes the big moment of this episode.
Very nice.
Oh my God.
And you never get to see anything outside. It's all done inside.
Was Air Force One just hit? Was Air Force One just hit?
Escort pilots report. Air Force One has suffered an injury.
That was actual pyrotechnics and some lighting effects on the inside of the Air Force One to give that lighting effect on the president and the sun's face.
It's very effective.
But yeah, you never get to see anything really blow up. I think the one first explosion you saw was just a little pyrotechnic explosion. If you slow it down, you won't really see much of what it is. It just is an explosion.
Like a model or something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thanks for joining us.
Very cool.